Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Layla Mutin, who is our registered dietitian and nutritionist in residence. And together we're answering your questions as part of our weekly Q&A with Layla. You can send questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. And how are we doing on our mailbag? We got
We've got a lot of questions,
and so it may take, there may be a delay of a couple of weeks before we get to your question, but hang in there, keep listening, and we'll get around to your questions for the most part.
For the most part.
And, occasionally, we reserve the right if there's a question that just is, perhaps a little off the theme or perhaps a little too complicated. We can't handle complex medical situations here.
We don't do podcast consults.
Podcast consults, right. Let's see. I'm a 32-year-old female who, 16 years ago, I developed a twitch in my right eyelid.
And attached are my labs over the last.
Please review them and tell me what to do. No, yes. We can't do that.
Right. Okay. We have an email from Gary. Dear Dr. Hoffman, as a person a few years older than you are, what specific supplement should I take?
Okay, well, the first thing I will say is that to answer that question would be contrary to the spirit of the entire thrust of our practice, which is that we individualize nutrition according to a person's very
unique
particular unique biochemistry and unique circumstances.
Yes.
So generic recommendations are just that. They are generic recommendations. Mm-hmm. That being said, I was tempted not to answer the question, but that being said, I think we can maybe speak in generalities. So for example, let's say this person has a high risk, familial risk of cardiovascular disease, and perhaps there are some issues that really suggest this person has a high risk of cardiovascular disease. Maybe we would do some testing to determine whether plaque is already forming in his coronary arteries. Mm-hmm. And if that were to be the case, we would go very aggressive with the supplements that would be preventive. Or alternatively, maybe there's some prostate issues, or maybe there's some digestive issues, or, on and on it goes. And that's what we do. And that's actually, frankly, yes. You and I, Layla, we work side by side. If it were so generic, we would really be bored in our practice. It'd be like, here's a guy, and he's a little older than Dr. Hoffman, he's like 68. Well, let's give him that little older than Dr. Hoffman 68-year-old protocol, just
right.
Bang. That's what do older, aging baby boomers generally need? Okay.
Yeah.
So, but, to respect the question, let's look at some of the possibilities here.
Yes.
In a male, we might be a little less concerned about osteoporosis, but not entirely dismissive of that possibility. Men at the age of 70 may, women at 50, but perhaps men at 65 or 70 deserve a bone density to see if that's an issue. Mm-hmm. From a cardiovascular standpoint, there may be some things to use for prevention. We like, most people to get a balanced multivitamin.
Yes, and one without iron.
And one without iron.
And absolutely for men, and certainly women of this age group, one without iron.
Perhaps some additional vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
And we like natural anti-inflammatories, anti-cancer supplements. But
yes,
I put them together in a product called PhytoGuard many years ago. It has green tea, and it has pomegranate, and it has broccoli, elements of broccoli extract, lycopene, quercetin, many, it's kind of a combo, it's like a multi phytonutrient. We now call it PhytoBenefits. It's the same product, but it's called PhytoBenefits. Mm-hmm. And it's available in full script, which is accessible to our patients and to our listeners via drhoffman.com. Just click on shop, and it'll
bring you straight there.
Bring you straight there, and you can register, and then you can search the many, many products that are there. So phytobenefits, in addition to a multi, that gives you sort of a quick way to get the benefits.
Right.
For older individuals, we might say Ubiquinol or CoQ10. Also, you know, one of our sponsors is Propax with NT Factor. I think NT Factor has anti-aging benefits. We certainly want some fish oil.
Yes.
Carlson, one of our good sponsors, makes a good fish oil for prevention. And probiotics, you know, we'd like Dr. Ahira's. Dr. Ahira's also has the RegActive series of probiotics, which generate glutathione. So those are some things that could be part of a base program that, you know, doesn't necessarily address specifics. Oh, by the way, there's some nice resveratrol in that phytobenefits, so that's cardiovascular prevention. You know, then we can get into some more esoteric things. You know, say there's a lot of inflammation, we may want to give some glucosamine and some curcumin and some boswellia, you know, those things along those lines. We might consider niacin. I think niacin's got great potential for older individuals because it's it helps with energy. It's also neuroprotective.
I would check B12 levels too, because intrinsic factor starts to go down, and want to get a good status of B12. And
yeah, and then, you know, if we looked at homocysteine, if the homocysteine were high, we'd give a methyl donor supplement. It's called MethylGuard Plus.
Yeah.
To address high homocysteine, which we think is still a risk factor for cardiovascular disease, although much of conventional medicine has dismissed it.
Which I don't understand, honestly.
Well, they did one study, and the study was kind of blah, and then they said it's not important anymore. They abandoned it. So, you know, without more information, it's a little hard to know where to go with this.
Yeah, yeah. So, Gary, that would really
salt
be a consult.
Maybe. I mean, most men...
Salt palmetto, yeah.
So, for example, I mean, I don't have a prostate problem, but possibly the reason for that is I have been taking salt palmetto continuously since I've been about 35 or 40.
There you go.
So I think that's protective. I think salt palmetto is more protective than it has the ability to reverse a markedly enlarged prostate. I think once the prostate is very far gone, salt palmetto is a little less hard-hitting. Let's see. What else? I mean, these are all possibilities rather than, you know, prescriptive. Okay, folks, this is a good point at which to pause, because we'd like to have you give your undivided attention to this message from one of our good sponsors. So listen up.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Okay, thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors there that make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. So back to you, Layla, and what else do we have in our mailbag?
Okay, we've got an email from Lauren. Dear Layla and Dr. H, listen to every podcast. I know you think the world of niacin, and I've been taking 250 milligrams 2 times a day for months with no real benefits. Why do you think this is? And by the way, I've read one review of niacin that Harvard is insisting that the research is not really conclusive on niacin.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, you know, I don't know what Harvard is saying. Often, when Harvard speaks, it speaks through a newsletter that doesn't necessarily mirror the high-level research that's done at Harvard. So what they get is...
I think they're just using their name.
Yeah, the Harvard newsletter, you know, or something like that. And so that, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that it's the highest level of science emanating from Harvard. So, and by these, many of these newsletters, the Berkeley Health Letter, Harvard Health Letter, Mayo Health Letter, they generally take a skeptical view towards supplements. I'm still very excited about niacin, and so it works at two levels. One is that it may increase your energy, and there's two ways where that might not work. One is if you have really high levels of energy to begin with. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you tell a, 21-year-old kid, here, take some Viagra. It's going to make you sexier. Well, you know, 21-year-old male's pretty laden with testosterone anyway. They may not, notice an enhancement. However, a 65-year-old guy, you know, maybe, they're going to notice some improvement. So that's number one. On the other end of the spectrum, somebody may be debilitated for a variety of reasons, and taking niacin may be like beating a dead horse because there are many other pathways that need to be energized. So there might be low thyroid, there might be deficiency of other vitamins and supplements, there might be insulin resistance, any number of iron deficiency, any number of things might be an impediment to feeling better. So or it's just possible that you're just not a responder to it. But one of the reasons that I tell people to take niacin, even if they don't get a huge boost in energy, is because there's pretty good research now that shows that it's extremely neuroprotective. And that, I think, is a very distinct benefit. So even if you don't get a bang for your buck and you don't feel like super energized from it, I personally feel that my energy has improved. My athletic performance has really bounced back. Now, for a little bit of I dipped down. I hit a kind of a speed bump at 60, around 60, and I don't quite know what was happening at that point. Maybe sort of a generalized slowdown. But man, I tell you, it's really with and niacin was one of the modifications I made to my program. The other modification is I'm eating even more cleanly than I did before, with pretty much adherence to a paleo diet. I think that has also energized me. So it's a little hard for me to tell whether it's the niacin alone.
Coming back to the neuroprotective benefits, I know we have a case report of somebody with Meniere's disease who started taking niacin and was so excited that she actually called me and said, I don't feel like my head is in a box anymore.
Oh, great.
That feeling of being inside of a cave, that's what was happening to her hearing. She said that it's gone.
And that could make sense because Meniere's is actually partially a disorder of the hearing apparatus, which does involve nerve cells, but it's also a disorder of the brain.
Yeah.
And, the auditory center of the brain may be getting static. Mm-hmm. And so that is plausible as an outcome from taking niacin. And I think there are some studies looking at niacin in relationship to age-related hearing loss. I still am a big believer in it's nicotinamide riboside is the generic name for it, but the brand name is niacin. Niacin is the brand we favor. There are two dosage forms, 125 and 250. And to get the full benefits, I think you need to take 250 twice daily. And it might be warranted to do a trial of three a day, but that gets a little pricey to see if you break through in terms of energetic outcome. But I'm not particularly daunted by the fact that one listener says he's not experiencing subjective benefits from it. Doesn't put me off of niacin.
I would agree. Oh, and she's been taking it for months and months. I imagine the honeymoon period is kind of over.
That's another
to some degree.
Yeah, that's another possibility. Is that sometimes when you start something, you do get a benefit, and then your body sort of equilibrates, and it doesn't seem to make as much of a difference.
Yeah, that's possible. So, Lauren, thank you for your question. All right, but you know what? She does need a consult if she does have a problem with energy. As you said in the beginning, Dr. Hoppen, could be thyroid, could be other micronutrient deficiencies like B12 or anything else for that matter. So it's worth a look.
I made that case in a what is now an old book, Tired All the Time, How to Regain Your Lost Energy. I think that book was written in the 90s. But there have been a lot of advances since the 90s, but the book is, the premise is sound, which is that there are many shades and gradations of fatigue, and there are many different causes. And one person's energy failure may be quite different from another person's energy failure due to different circumstances. So, you know, we'd have to take a look, do an analysis.
Okay. Thank you, Lauren. We hope you feel better soon. Okay. Now, we have an email from Peggy. Hello, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. This is Peggy. I love your podcast. Thank you for all that you do. I'm a 52-year-old postmenopausal female. I have Hashimoto's, osteoarthritis, which is progressively worsening since menopause. I am, however, fit, 5'3", 115 pounds, but achy and stiff. I'm gluten-free and dairy-free, but do I have to avoid all dairy? Can I still eat sheep's cheese?
Okay.
Mm.
Well, you know, the first question to ask is there a relationship between diet and her symptoms? And so there may be or there may not be.
Yes.
And the only way to tell is with, you know, a very comprehensive elimination diet.
Right.
Which sometimes has to be sustained for a few weeks or even a couple of months to see if the symptoms are lifted.
Yes.
You know, we can't attribute everything to nutrition or diet or to a food that you're intolerant to.
Yeah. But the fact that she has Hashimoto's, number one,
gluten.
Yeah. It's gluten and dairy are the main, and she has antibodies in the 100s.
Okay.
Now, with us, so absolutely, Peggy, you should be off all dairy when you have that many antibodies. Mm-hmm. So gluten-free, dairy-free is absolutely the way to go. Now, with arthritis, we would also eliminate the nightshades, tomatoes, peppers of all types. Except black pepper. The black pepper shaker on the table is okay, but not any other kind of pepper. Red, green, yellow pepper, habaneros, jalapenos, hot sauce, all that pepper is gone. White potatoes, not sweet potatoes, white potatoes are a nightshade. So is eggplant, so is tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would eliminate those for the osteoarthritis. And really an elimination, Dr. Hoffman, I would say at least a couple of months.
Yeah.
It really does take that long.
And then, even then, I think that you might also benefit from a comprehensive anti-inflammatory program.
Yeah.
You know, boosting things like curcumin, fish oil, vitamin D may have anti-inflammatory effects.
Yes. Boswellia.
Boswellia, we sometimes use a supplement that's hops-based called Caprex, made by Metagenics. Undenatured collagen type 2 can be helpful. Glucosamine chondroitin, of course. There's some controversy as to whether hyaluronic acid is helpful. Some people swear by it, but I think the science on that is a little less clear than it is on glucosamine. Although glucosamine studies are controversial. Some studies say it doesn't make much difference. Other studies do. But I can tell you, anecdotally, from my experience with patients, it really can help some patients. And, you know, I think glucosamine chondroitin is a little bit like salt palmetto for the prostate. Glucosamine chondroitin is something you should be starting in your 30s to prevent osteoarthritis. And, you know, when you have well-established osteoarthritis, it's a little less likely that is going to be quenched by glucosamine chondroitin alone. MSM may play a role in that. There's a supplement called Ostanol, which the original claim to fame is on healing bone fractures because it's bone morphogenetic protein, also helpful for osteoporosis. But there's also some studies showing that it's helpful for osteoarthritis. So there's a variety of ways to go. Can you think of anything else?
I think you've covered it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And, you know, we would again look for individual food sensitivities, intolerances, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. You know, not everyone is inflamed by the same foods. It could be quite unique.
And, you know, since this is an autoimmune case, I would recommend, you know, we did say dairy and gluten elimination.
Yes.
We could take it one step further, and those are absolutely eliminated in a paleo diet. And mm-hmm. now paleo diet has become sort of the standard of care for autoimmunity. And we've talked to many experts on my podcasts about using a paleo diet, which also eliminates legumes and all grains, to alleviate autoimmunity.
And yeah.
So, you know, there's some inflammation is happening body-wide. It's not just restricted to the thyroid in the case of this person, it sounds like.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Peggy, thank you very, very much for your question. We hope you feel better. I would absolutely avoid all dairy.
Yeah.
Including avoiding Manchego cheese. Yes, I know it tastes good, but really avoid it for a good period of time, a few months, to see if anything changes for you.
Give it a shot. Give it a shot. What do you have to lose? Except for a couple of pounds.
Right.
Which, by the way, is beneficial when you're suffering from inflammatory problems.
Yeah. You know? Well, Peggy is 5'3 and 115.
Okay,
we call that perfect. Okay.
Yeah, we don't want her to lean down too much. Become emaciated or frail.
Right. Right.
Okay, well, that pretty much wraps it up for today's edition of Q&A with Layla. Remember, you can send your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. We thank you for your questions. We're getting a nice continuous stream of interesting questions, high-hanging curveballs that we can swing wildly at and hit them out of the park, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can tell them in the baseball fervor, you know, as we near the month of October, it's a magical month when the playoffs begin and all the world is abuzz with baseball news.
Yeah.
And I'm here in New York, as you can hear with the background noise. So with one final salutation, we'll sign off. Go Yankees, right?
Go Yankees, yay!
Okay. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Layla Mutin, and this is our weekly Q&A with Layla. Thanks for joining us. This is Intelligent Medicine.